Good morning. 36 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Faith Radio Network as we kick off a brand new work week. Throughout the morning, we'll keep you updated on the terrorist attacks at the Minnesota Mall and the bombings in New York and New Jersey. It's very clear we live in a dangerous world. And of course, one of those danger hotspots that has been in the news during the past couple of weeks is North Korea. As you know, their government once again testing atomic weapons. What you may not have heard, though, is how many people in North Korea are actually suffering right now because of terrible floods there. Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News joins us with all those details. Good morning, Ruth. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Bill?
Well, now, the international community has been focusing on the threat that North Korea poses to its neighbors and to global stability, and that certainly is top of mind for a lot of people in national security. But I was really surprised, and you don't hear much about this in the news, thousands of North Korea citizens homeless because of flooding there. What have we been able to learn about the situation?
Well, actually, the country was hit by a typhoon called Lion Rock in late August. And it's some of the worst flooding they've seen since the Second World War. So you're talking hundreds of thousands of people who've had to flee their homes. There are maybe 130 to 140 people who have died and hundreds more remaining missing. Now, this is a natural disaster on top of an ongoing food shortage because the natural resources have been mismanaged. So there isn't enough food already to feed the people. And now you have kitchen gardens, just general farmland that has been inundated with these floodwaters, and everything that they had that was going has been washed away. So you've got a serious problem with not having enough food and then not having any shelter, and you're coming into the winter season. So there's a number of situations that are cause for concern for the North Korean survivors at this point. The irony of thumbing your noses at the international community with the nuclear testing isn't lost. And yet the international aid community said, well, aside from that, the people who are suffering from these floods, they're not the ones responsible for the decisions to test the nuclear weapons. We need to help them as much as we can. Initially, there was some word that North Korea had immediately requested international aid, which was then countermanded, and the government said, well, we don't need any help, and then they turned around and said, yes, we do. So there's been a number of conflicting messages that have been coming out of North Korea. Yet we know that International Red Cross and a few of the other agencies that are there on the ground trying to bring in some assistance just to get people through the next few days until things get a little more settled down. And there are a number of other avenues that have come about for bringing assistance in, some of which involve the underground church because of the ongoing food situation, the food crisis that has been happening.
Now, there is an organization called Alpha Relief, which is a part of the ministry Global Advance. What are they doing there right now, Ruth?
Well, again, I'm referencing the underground church network there. Obviously, we can't get too far in the details with this because of the security situations. But there is a believer who has been utilizing these underground connections to get emergency food, clothing, and medicine to people in North Korea. The church network of North Korea is so far underground that you wouldn't recognize what it looks like. And often it involves people coming out of North Korea into China and then going back into North Korea. So there's a number of connections there that are still very lively. What it does mean is that there is an underground church. There is a remnant of the body of Christ in North Korea. And they are taking some of those supplies and distributing those to other people who need them. Right now, I wouldn't call this like an overt gospel kind of a thing, but it's opening doors.
You know, your colleague Julie Borden did a great story on Mission Network News' website about these North Korean Christians actively helping the flood victims. And these are people that face intense persecution from their government, yet they are truly acting as the hands and feet of Jesus in a very difficult situation. I think a great, great inspiration, great example to all of us.
Yeah, I think what is interesting is what would we do in the same situation if we had a country just to, outside of our borders? that was showing such obvious need. What would our churches do to respond to those kinds of things? And that's just kind of the question that Global Advance is asking. Their partner network on the ground has asked themselves that question, and their response is, we will be the hands and feet of Christ.
Now, you featured another story on Mission Network News about North Korea and how South Korea may respond to this threat from their next-door neighbor. I'm sure the citizens of South Korea, many of whom are Christians, a large Christian population in South Korea, those folks are on edge given the recent nuclear test by the North, which appears to be the largest one to date. What is the South Korean government saying about this threat right now?
Well, because you're involving actual successful nuclear tests now, this is more than just the war of words. So they are making preparations for the worst-case scenario. Nobody wants it to go into war, but given the propensity of the dictator of North Korea and really the movement that is being made, they have to be ready for any kind of a situation. So if you want to call it war games, there have been more drills outside of North Korea that South Korea has been conducting, just to say we're watching, we're aware, we are not going to be caught unprepared for the situation. We hope it doesn't come to this, but we will be ready if that is really what it's going to come to.
Now, let's focus on the Christians in North Korea for a moment. I was surprised to learn there could be as many as 400,000 Christians living in that nation. What do we know about life, what life is like for a follower of Christ in that communist country?
Information out of North Korea is very difficult because of how reclusive the country is and how dangerous it is for believers to be revealed or to be, you know, uncovered at any point. The ideology of North Korea really is that the leadership, the government leadership, the dictator is the deity. He is the founding father. He is their small g god. And so anything that goes against that is considered an enemy of the state or something that is threatening the sovereignty of North Korea. And they write it pretty large. So when they respond to the threat, it's a hard response to securing the sovereignty of North Korea and to shoring up and reinforcing that whole idea of Juche, which is, again, the idea that the leader is the god of the country. So Christians have been persecuted. The North Korean government, 3-4 generations back, has been really concentrating on eradicating the Christian influence. So if you're caught with a Bible or if you have any Christian literature or anyone suspects you of such things, they can take your whole family, not just your immediate family, like your spouse and your kids, but also your brothers and their spouses, your sisters, their children, your mom and dad. Anybody that's connected with your family can be immediately arrested and put into a concentration camp because they want to wipe out the whole family line just in case there's that influence there. So there's a lot of risk that's involved with identifying yourself as a follower of Christ, and yet it's still happening. There are people who are willing to give up everything and follow Christ in spite of knowing what the danger is. And their families are coming to Christ. So it's still, the gospel is still making inroads. The Holy Spirit won't be stopped by something like Juche. And that's the good news. I mean, that's what we've seen over years and generations of North Korea being what it is. And they are at the number one spot on the Open Doors World Watch list and have been for like 14 years.
Well, be praying for those folks in North Korea, those believers who are in part of that underground church and their families. We have no idea what it would be like to live in that situation. We need to be so thankful. In spite of some of the maybe the social persecution we experience here in the U.S., it's nothing like what these folks have gone through for many, many years. So thank you for that. Ruth, we'll take a quick break and be right back and talk about a special homeland, a new homeland for Christians in a very difficult part of the world. Stick with us.
Music.
Welcome back. 48 past the hour at Faith Radio. It's Bill Meyer with Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. Ruth keeps us updated on missionary work around the world and the persecuted church. And one of the areas where there's been terrible persecution, of course, is the Middle East. We've seen this in Syria and Iraq, not just Christians, but other religious minorities just being attacked by ISIS from every corner. And one of the things that I found interesting, Ruth, there was a story this week on Fox News about, and the title was Embattled Christians Pushing for Homeland. Basically, the country of Iraq has considered this in the past, setting aside a province for the Christian minority and these other religious minorities to protect them and kind of a safe zone. What do we know about this, Ruth?
Well, you know, this is not an entirely new idea. The Constitution actually contains specific protections for minorities and for creating new provinces. So it's not, according to the Constitution, it's not a totally new and independent state. I know that the resolution that's been passed in Congress is supporting the idea of a state that would be maybe a Sunni state as opposed to an Islamic state. But everything is just, you know, hinging upon getting ISIS under control and rolling them out of the area so that they can actually establish security in some of these places. You know, obviously, the situation when ISIS rolled through these areas, we saw a lot of people being killed because they weren't the right kind of Islam, or they were Yazidi or Christian, and absolutely opposed or not even on the scale for the ideology of the Islamic State. And so ISIS was just kind of just sweeping these whole areas and erasing people from the region. And so the idea was to maybe set out or carve a set apart an area on the Nineveh Plain and just kind of call that the new home state for these embattled religious minorities. And again, the U.S. congressmen that kind of put forward this resolution are just saying this needs to happen. We understand that the security issues with ISIS have to be dealt with before we can really maintain the idea of this state. But we just want people to know that we recognize what is going on and we really want to see this moving forward. Right now, the resolution doesn't look like it has a lot of teeth, but it is at least putting it out there again so people remember what's going on.
Well, we should hold up Representative Jeff Fortenberry from Nebraska, who has really been at the forefront of this, trying to get the Congress to acknowledge this issue. And, you know, it's encouraging to me that the country of Iraq has actually considered this. And we hear about the Nineveh Plain. We think biblically Nineveh. It's also called the Plain of Mosul. It's the ancestral homeland of many of these Christians. And these Yazidis and other minorities. Do we know what's happened to the Christian population in Iraq since all of this turmoil began? I'm guessing that it's really been decimated.
Well, the numbers are really hard to keep track of because there's so much movement with these people. But most of the Christians have actually fled the country. The thing that is awful about that is a lot of them fled the country into Syria only to be met with the Syrian civil war. And then they would flee back to Iraq and meet ISIS. So they've just kind of been bouncing around. And then finally, a lot of them just said, we can't be in this area. We're going to flee to Greece. We're going to try to go to Turkey and see what we can do, you know, moving into maybe Europe. And then, of course, you've seen what that has happened with the response to the refugee situation. So it has been a very difficult period and a long period of just not having a place and being adrift without really the security of a homeland and really anybody who's welcoming the groups of people there. As far as we knew, I mean, you were talking only tens of thousands of Christians left in Iraq, maybe at the beginning of the year. And since then, every day, thousands more are fleeing out of the country. So again, it is really hard to really know how many Christians are left in Iraq, because by now it's a situation where if you identify yourself as a follower of Christ, that could mean a lot of really big problems. But there are a few. There are a few Christian leaders who remained in Iraq to be there to support those others who do remain, because there are still needs for believers to be the hands and feet of Christ. I mean, we talk about this all the time, but they are the hands and feet of Christ. They are the ones who are bringing in assistance and help to others who've also been persecuted by ISIS, and they're just there speaking truth and hope into people whose situations seem pretty dark right now.
Finally, Ruth, got about 2 minutes left. Mission Network News ran a story this past week on the International Week of the Deaf, which is commemorated during the last week of September every year. Can you tell us quickly about the work of DOOR International and how they're working around the globe to serve the deaf community?
You know, I would say you've probably never considered DOOR International as a ministry, as a Bible translation ministry, but that's what they are. They are looking at the Bible and saying, God's word hasn't been translated into the deaf languages. And deaf language, sign language, is not just one language. There are many dialects. So something that is done in the United States cannot be understood by someone who's living in Turkmenistan or in, you know, one of the African countries, say Kenya or Ghana, because they don't speak the same language. So DOOR International has been working with believers in these areas to try to empower them to create a sign language Bible. And the thing is that is very interesting is up until recently, probably the last decade or so, the deaf community around the world, it was probably one of the least reached people groups in the world. So they've made a lot of progress with trying to make sure that God's word is getting to them. And the deaf Bible is not like the Bible that we would understand. You know, you might think, okay, well, you can just read the language and that should, you know, at least provide God's word. But a lot of the deaf people don't know how to read because in the formative years of learning language, that connection between being able to hear and figuring out what these words, these letters mean, wasn't there. So having a Bible translation that they understand, telling the stories in sign language, is really a beautiful way of showing them God's love. It really is a pictorial thing of really understanding how they were created and for what purpose they were created.
Mm. So you can learn more about the work of DOOR International at their website. Be praying for their efforts around the world. Ruth, thanks so much again for your time this morning. Every couple of weeks, we love to just check in with you, and we appreciate the fact that you and your colleagues are keeping tabs on what's happening with both the persecuted church and with religious minorities and certainly with great missionary efforts around the world in your different partnerships. So thank you. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having us on. Appreciate it.